Do you like the projector? You can actually see it. Now, can you see it over there? Mark, you can see it? Okay, and you can see it? We're trying to move everything back and get everything working a little bit here for you, but it is a huge difference, and we are thankful for that. And the foundation of the Church of God General Conference paid for 50% of it, and so you're saying, well, this is a lot of money. Yeah, it is, but we only paid half of it. The foundation, which came from there was a nursing home in Findlay, Ohio that they sold for $7 million, and they put it in an account, and then they draw off the interest of it. So anyway, that's what's going on there. But yeah, it's a huge difference. We're going to be playing with it and doing a lot of things with that today. Couple things for you. Number one is we do have a baby dedication today. We were supposed to have two, but Ron Hurdle, many of you know, he's in the hospital. That would have been, one of them was his granddaughter that was going to, his daughter was going to dedicate his granddaughter. And well, he's in the hospital and they wanted to be here for that. So we're going to move that to a different day. Different time, but we do have the Hazes that are having a baby dedication today, and which it's just enjoyable. I don't know if you know this or not, but I have dedicated more babies at this church than I think I have in the last 30 years of being a pastor. It just they're here all the time, and I did make the announcement last week that we're up to 7 babies that are going to be born. Are they here? Well, they are here. Hey, Lisa. Are you having a baby dedication today? Okay, we're not. Okay, I'm just making sure. We'll do it later. All of a sudden you showed up. I went, wait, I was just explaining the whole thing. So anyway, but continue to pray for Ron as well. What did I just say? Oh, yeah, and I announced that we had 5 new babies that are going to be in the church by June. So that's just an exciting thing to see and to hear about. Got a couple announcements. If you open up your bulletins, everybody get your bulletins and open them up. We're going to be doing something unique in the church, not unique, but we're going to be challenging you this year to read the Bible, kind of unique in a church, you know, reading a Bible. But we want to read it in chronological order. If you may not know this, but the Bible is not written in chronological order. So for this year, we're going to be placing in the bulletins scripture for you to read each and every day that'll be in chronological order for you. So, for example, Genesis chapter 1, then chapter 2 on this day, and then it gets up to Genesis chapter 12. When Genesis chapter 12 starts, then we're going to read the book of Job, because they believe that Job was living at the same time as Abraham. And then we're going to get done with that. Then we're going to go back to Genesis once again. So what we want you to do is I am challenging you to do this year, to read God's word. And so it's going to be in the bulletin every day or every week. I'm trying to figure out how we could put it on the internet or on our website or Facebook page as a reminder, but we're going to work on that a little bit too. But it starts this Wednesday. Anybody in mourning over Ohio State? Hey, let me just tell you, it was a fun year, wasn't it, though? Yeah. It sure was. I mean, just blowing people away and everything else. I couldn't watch it yesterday because I'm on Farmer Vision, and I understand it was on ESPN, so I couldn't watch it at all. That's why they lost, because I couldn't watch it. Hey, do you got the slide there for the men's? There we go. Men, I'm excited about this. We're getting ready for something in Mendon. We are working with the Mendon Church of God, and I think I'm going to call it the 4 M's, 4M Ministry. Men, Mendon men, meeting and meet. What do you think? Huh? Mendon area, men, you know if you're a man or not, most of the time. Anyway, Mendon men, meeting, M-E-E-T-I-N-G, and meet, M-E-A-T. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a Bible study at the Mendon Fire Department. And we want to keep it out of a church building because our purpose is to reach out and get men in the Mendon area and the Salina area that don't know Jesus, and to bring them in and feed them physically and spiritually. And so that's why we're saying meeting and meet. And it's going to be on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. We're going to be providing a meal for them, and it's not going to be hot dogs. Our first meal, we're planning on ribs. How many women wish you could come? Ha-ha, you can't. It's just for the men. And so the purpose is to reach these guys that need to know Jesus. Do you know when a man comes to church, it's like 80 to 90% chance that the family's going to come to church. When it's the mother that comes to church, it drops down to about 40%. So we really want to touch the lives of men. We're really debating about what to do when they have a fire call, though. We thought about putting a rope on the bottom of the door and seeing how many of them trip over themselves, but I don't think Daryl would appreciate that too much. But if you ever seen firemen, volunteer firemen, when there's a fire call and how they come into a station, it's hilarious to watch. So, but that's coming up. So men, you are invited, and also you're invited, and you're also invited to bring someone else. And what you just basically say, hey, we got a place to go on Tuesday night, and it has a lot of good food in it. And yeah, it's a little bit of a Bible study, but that's okay. But we're gonna be having a lot of food. That's how I got involved with one in Findlay, because they were talking about this place where men go in Findlay and they eat meat and they have a Bible study. And you know where they have it in Findlay? In a gun shop. And so that's why we're planning on doing that here. So, all right, those are the announcements I have. Please check the directories. We want to get those done, and we would like to run them this week, but we got to double check them because we're finding out some people's pictures aren't even in there. For example, Kyle isn't in there for some reason. Brenda wasn't in there for some reason. So we want to get those fixed. All right, with that said, stand up, turn around, greet someone this morning. Yes, you can be loud when you're greeting. At this time, if the children come up, and we're going to be doing our joyful noise offering. Hey, is Chad, are you here? Chad, stand up. I got to embarrass Chad. Chad Schellebarger and your wife Doris are missionaries to Detroit. And this is 100% of what is raised here goes to him. So everybody turn around, wave at Chad. And he's down here visiting today. So what's in your pocket, put in there, and it goes to Chad.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay,
All right, kids, come on down. Let's do our call to worship today, and let's say it together. Let's say it together. In a loud voice, they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." If you don't like praising God, well, guess what you're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be praising Him for all He has done. Let's pray. Father, thank You once again for this day, chance to get together. And may our worship today be acceptable to You. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. If you'll stand with us, and we'll begin our time in worship this morning.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in Your name, we're calling out to You. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here, and You're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see You. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart and filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, Your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, You're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here, You're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see You. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see You. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart and filling every part of our praise. Show us Your glory. Show us Your power. Show us Your glory, Lord. Show us Your power. Show us Your glory, Lord. Show us Your glory. Show us Your power. Show us Your glory, Lord. To see You open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see You open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart and filling every part of our praise.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise through You. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise through You. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord of light, I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you. There is strength when I say, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When sorrow comes my way, you're the shield around me. Always you remain my courage in the fight. I hear you call my name, Jesus, I am coming. Walking on the waves, reaching for your light. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Thank you. is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. I won't forget all the battles you have won. Your love is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful.
Join our hearts together in prayer this morning. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, Lord, and we praise you. We praise you, Lord, for you are good. You are holy. You are just. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways, and Lord, we truly give you praise and thanks this morning.
Lord, we are grateful for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We are so thankful, Lord, for coming through the holiday season, Lord, with Christmas and families. And Lord, thank you for the birth of your son, Jesus. Lord, we come before you in his name, Lord, thanking you and giving you all the praise, the glory, and honor. Lord, we are grateful for all you've given to us. Lord, we do confess this morning that we are sinners saved by the grace of Christ. We pray, Lord, for your forgiveness when we fall short of your will. And Lord, just help us to truly understand and know your word and know your will, Lord, and to obey it and to be the people you've called us to be. We pray, Lord, as we've come to worship you, Lord, that you find our worship acceptable. That, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor you so deserve. And Lord, we come before you now with our petitions. Lord, we pray and ask your touch upon those who need your touch. We think especially of Ron Hurdle this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, for your touch upon him. Lord, for others that are struggling, Lord, either physical, emotional, spiritual needs, Lord, we lift them before you and pray, Lord, that your spirit will work in their lives. We pray, Lord, for your touch upon each and every one of them, Lord. And Lord, as we are about to partake of communion, Lord, as we do the baby dedication, Lord, as we hear from your word, we pray, Lord, that it will be all be pleasing and acceptable to you. And Lord, know that we do it out of our love for you because you first loved us. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves for communion. In the churches of God, we hold to an open communion policy. Essentially, we say that if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a Christian, you are welcome to take communion with us. If you don't feel comfortable, then that's fine. Then you don't need to. We don't look at it any differently. But if you would like to, you're more than welcome to. What we're going to do is have four stations at each corner of the church. You are welcome to stand and to go to those stations and take communion as an individual, or as some people do, even as a family. Let's prepare our hearts for communion at this time. Father, as we approach your table, we are reminded of the great sacrifice that Jesus has done for us. Many times we think of the cross and Jesus dying on the cross and the blood that was shed. But we also have just completed our Christmas season, and many times we forget about the great sacrifice of leaving the throne of heaven, and coming to this earth, and how humbling that would be. We also recognize that 33 and a third years later that Jesus came and was nailed to a cross to pay our price for sins so that we could be atoned for and so we could look at eternity to be with you. So, Lord, we thank you. As we prepare for communion, let's examine our hearts, and may we confess our sins to you so we might be pure and holy before you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had his family around him. And I say family, even though they were his disciples. But in the church, we kind of become a family, don't we? And so he was sitting with his disciples, and they passed the bread around. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me." Then, after they took the bread, then he took the cup, and he passed the cup around and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me." In the Church of Jesus Christ, that is this one area that we are united in, where all different denominations come together in communion, in recognition of the Lord's Supper. Feel free to go and to take communion. let us pray. Once again, Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he has done for us. We thank you for the fact that a day will come when we will all gather together in eternity and we will be praising and giving songs of praise to Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for the salvation. And we thank you for the purpose that you give us in life as well. So we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we have a baby dedication. And I would ask that the Hayeses would come forward. We are going to be dedicating Foster Hayes to the Lord this morning. So come on up. And anyone else that you would like to have come with you. And I'd like the elders to come forward as well. He doesn't share gummies? Wow. Yep, come on up. So many of you know, 2 weeks ago we had last week we had a baby dedication. And the Hayeses could not be with us, so he asked that we would have another one, and that's no problem, anytime. And we're going to be dedicating Foster to the Lord at this time. Let me read this to you. There are some mothers and fathers who are afraid to trust their children to God. Hannah was not afraid. She said, as long as he lives, he shall be given to God. In the New Testament says that Mary brought the young child Jesus to the temple. And now Ethan and Rachel recognize the sacredness of their charge and now bring back to God the treasure which the Lord has entrusted to them. And they publicly acknowledge their responsibilities for the nature and their nurture and admonition of this child in the ways of righteousness. I have some questions I'd like to ask you. In the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you promise to bring this child up in the respect of God? If so, say we do. Do you promise to seek and lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord at a young age? If so, say we do. Do you promise, as far as it lies in you, to set before him an example of godly and consistent Christian life? If so, the answer is we do. Okay. You have named your child Foster Hayes. I always like finding the history of some of these names. I'm finding that last names are harder to find than first names. Foster. Well, I think we can pretty much figure what that one is. It means forester. One who takes care of the forest. Hayes is a little bit more difficult. It comes from Ireland. And Hayes originated from a Gaelic polygenic surname. Say that 10 times real quick. Which means fire. So, Forrester, fire. You know what you have to look forward to. In the Bible, and throughout people's lives, especially strong Christians, they recognize that the foundation to a godly life are fathers and mothers. Napoleon once said, "Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." The famous preacher Charles Spurgeon had two reasons why he was the way he was: the truth that he preached and his mother. Joshua, God's general, says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Solomon, teacher and instructor of wisdom, alluded to the fact that a wise father will lead his house spiritually. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, when the people brought the little children to him to place his hands on them and to pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs as such as these. Then he placed his hands on them and prayed for them and blessed them. We have a little video for you. You're going to notice that there are two separate babies on there, but like I said, things change today. But during the time of dedication, the elders are going to come and going to pray for Ethan and Rachel and Foster. And the video is going to show of the baby when the baby was born and various times in his life. Go ahead and show the video at this time. Let us pray for Foster. We have a presentation to you today of two things, or three things. One, a white flower, a Bible, and a certificate. The white flower. Now to Foster, I present this white rosebud. It is simple and pure and spotless. My prayer is that the baby's soul will be as pure and spotless at the great rapture of the church. We also present a Bible. The Bible needs to be your word and the lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, and now from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We also have a certificate. It is to remind you of this important day. Let us pray as a congregation. Father, we come, we lift Foster up to you, and we dedicate him to you. And Lord, may you be throughout his life, and may you bless him. But above all, may he come to know you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's hear it for Foster, Ethan, and Rachel, and Henry. Today is also a special day. On the fifth Sunday of the month, I've asked for Kyle Stoker to come and to preach. And it's kind of fitting that this is the last Sunday of the year in 2019. And Kyle is going to be presenting God's word to us. I heard him in the first service. And I do is I text him through the service. Did you feel your belt buzz when I'm, because I'm texting him thoughts that I have and everything else about his preaching. But one text that I did give him, and I do mean it, I said I thought that this, at least the first service, this is one of the best sermons that he has preached. So I invite you to listen to what God has laid upon his heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. And now I have more than 20 minutes, so it'll be nice. I won't have to speed read. So, but when we're going through, we're going to be turning to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 here today. So, well, if you want to turn your Bibles there, it's going to be a very, I love this scripture and I love this time of the year. It's one of those interesting themes that when you hear New Year's, it's really just a date. But for some reason, it's such a pinnacle moment in so many of our lives where we make new decisions, resolutions, different things going on. And if you would have asked me probably about 10 years ago, if everybody told me, I've always said I've disliked Christmas. I never liked my birthday or celebrating it. I don't enjoy holidays really that much at all. If for me, we could skip them, and I would have been okay. And everybody told me, as I had my own family and had kids of my own and started getting older, that I would appreciate them much more. And I've realized that was really true. And they also said time would go by quicker, and I would appreciate the moments a lot slower. And so as I begin to realize that, I've realized that the new year is much more important as I have to evaluate and realize and think about what are my goals, what happened in this last year. And for many of us, we've suffered loss, we've had many joys, we had dreams fulfilled, we've had things that have occurred, we've achieved goals that we set for ourselves in 2018 to see 2019 occur, and maybe you've just worked a little bit closer towards something that you've really wanted to be. Actually, I was interested in looking up, and I saw that 60% of people in the United States set up New Year's resolutions for themselves. 60%. I thought that was interesting, but what's interesting is we're not going to talk about the percentage of people who don't fulfill them. If you're like me, most of the time you have good intentions with New Year's resolutions where I'm going to do this in 2020. I'm going to eat really good. One of my goals for last year was I was going to read the Bible every 90 days, and I did it twice this year was my goal. So I was like halfway there. So my goal is this next year I'm going to do better at it is what I'm hoping for. But, you know, I'm not very good at New Year's resolutions. I usually miss them. I don't achieve them. I'm just not really good at setting that. I'm more long-term. I like setting those type of things. And as I'm sitting down and evaluating 2019 in this past year, we're seeing the many changes that have occurred and the many decisions I've made in the last 2 months to go through and go, it's amazing to see the differences that have occurred. I've been going to, you know, church. I thought about it. Me and my wife joked. We've been together over a decade now of knowing each other. And it's amazing to see the difference from then to now. And as I've been thinking about this the last few months, and as I've been doing my scripture reading, my daily devotions, this scripture from Ephesians chapter 2 really stood out to me. In fact, in such a way that it was very convicting, and I wonder if that's partially why I only slept about 45 minutes last night as I was pondering on the message today. And we're going to go through and read this all from verses 1 through 10 here now. And it says from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, you following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of the grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is, this is not of your own doing, and it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Would you join your hearts together with mine as we go into prayer here? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to thank you for this scripture. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that this message be of your words, your heart, your spirit, and Lord, that you would be able to use them. Lord, we pray this all in your name now. Amen. So as we're looking at these different verses, I wanted to walk through this verse by verse. And it's amazing as we're evaluating, we're looking at ourselves, this message I want to make clear is I'm not against New Year's resolutions. I think they're good. I think you should set goals. One of the things that I do every year is I set multiple things that I want to achieve throughout, and I make it known to my very close friends. Because I wanted them to hold me accountable. As I'm walking towards these goals, I want them to hold me accountable. How are you doing in that? That's something that I'm really seeking out, is to find somebody who will walk through life and challenge me. So don't take it as it's not a thing you should do, but something that we need to evaluate. And in verse 1, as we're diving in here, it says, "And you are dead in the trespasses and sins." Now, when it's talking about you, Paul is actually talking to non-Jewish people. He's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. When he's going through, and that could be classified as all of us, he's actually speaking to us. But here's the interesting part about what the language he uses. He said, "And you were dead." And this refers, this dead that he's speaking of refers to all of us. That we are eternally, from the time you were formed in the womb, we were eternally separated from God. That we were born into sin, that we would all sin and fall short of the mark that God laid before us, and there's nothing we can do about it ourselves. And that's the amazing part, is that we really overshadow this word dead. What we end up saying is, we just say, okay, we were dead in our trespasses. But in reality, there's a big difference between dead and alive. There's a clear separation. Alive, you're able to move, breathing, continue forward, go. Actually, one of the things that I didn't think of that Darwin texted me and I was reading after the next message, that's why if you saw me pull my phone, I silenced it, so that way he couldn't get me while I'm preaching. But one of the things I read was, he brought up, and it's a great point, is that when you're dead, it continues, there's a stink, there's a stench, there's something that comes off of you. And when you have these things and you continually live in it, you just don't notice it anymore. That's how you live. That's just normal. And when we have these things and we realize this strong language that we're dead in the trespasses and sins, that's something we have to realize, that we all fall short. We're all born into this. Not one of us is greater than the other and born into an eternal throne. When we go through, we see this metaphor, there's no middle ground in it. When we're going through, you can see this from the beginning. If you read Genesis 3, it talks about the fall. It talks about what you're going to be born into. Nothing falls outside of it. When it talks about that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, these words describe the evil that controls us. This characterizes our human life. This is who we are. They're both the cause of death, but the evidence of your death. That our sins, our trespasses, show the evidence that we are sinners. When we look at verse 3, it says, "Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath like the rest of mankind." When we're talking about the desires of flesh, this is the selfish part of our own human nature. I mean, all of us can admit at one point in our life or even now, we have selfish desires. When I'm at home and I'm tired from working all day, I just want to sit in the chair. I don't want to sit there and make food or feed my family or worry about these things. But sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to sacrifice. Sometimes when I want to be the one that's right, I can't be the one that I have to sacrifice and be wrong. There's other things in the sense of, too, is just the other side of it. When I'm going through, you know, even in Walmart or Menards, right now I'm like living at Menards, I feel like, is when I'm walking through there, I try to dodge, I try to run, I try not to really talk to people because I want to get in and out. But in reality, that's a great time to just witness and talk to people. When we're going through, even just how I treat my spouse, how I treat my kids, how you talk to your neighbors is all a witness to how God works in our lives. See, here's an interesting thing that we've been doing with our son. We've been trying to do this thing where we pray with, where he bought a book. It's called How to Catechize Your Child. And it sounds really bad. It's actually not. But what it does is going through the Westminster Catechisms. And it's talking about things like, what is the Trinity? And we, so Bentley will run through and say, you know, all the three parts of the Trinity. And then we'll say, who's your ultimate authority? And he'll say, God. We'll ask him who created him. And he'll say, God. We'll say, who saves you? Christ. And we'll walk through these things with him, which is so cool. But what's interesting is how his natural, sinful nature comes out. See, none of us taught our kids, or even taught our parents, never taught us how to lie, how to steal, how to do these things that are wrong, how to go through and live a life that was sinful. None of us want our kids to disobey us. They just do it. And see, what's interesting, and I always find funny, is when we're asking these questions of, who's your ultimate authority? 50% of the time, my son, God. He's got it on point, and you're proud of him. You know, we'll see these things, we're like, sweet. And then other times you'll go, who's your, and we've explained what authority is, and we'll say, who's your ultimate authority? And he'll say, me. And then I'll say to him, you're just like your father Adam and sinful and making yourself king of your life. And I always find it funny. If you look at scripture, it's kind of interesting. But when you're going through and you're looking at these scenes, no one taught Billy that. See, we all want to be our own authority. That's what we all want. We want the freedom to be able to pick and choose what we like, how we don't like this, but this is okay, but this isn't. All these things make us our own God. And we're all natural at it. I do it, you do it. When we're going through and we're seeing these scenes, it says in the next part, and we're by nature children of wrath. See, the wrath that is talked about here is God's righteous judgment on sin. See, there can't be bad good news without bad news. You have to have one with the other. And when we're looking at this idea that there will be judgment for each and every one of us, and we all deserve it. See, I deserve it. You deserve it. Everyone will walk through it. And that's what we have to realize, that God's just not one just to say, go and do. There's no punishment. There will be a cause. But see, it says, like the rest of mankind. See, we've all walked in a way that any of us evaluate our own lives, and we look in the mirror, and we seriously look at ourselves, we can find sin in our own lives. There's no one in this room that's perfect or straightforward or knows everything that they need to know. That we've all walked in a way of disobedience from God, and even in our Christian faith, have stumbled and fallen more than once. But that's the amazing part of who Christ is. So we see apart from Christ that we're dead in our transgressions and sins. See, there's a duality here, and they complement each other. Our trespasses and sins really show evidence and show proof. When we're going through and we're seeing these scenes, is that we may not mean to trespass or mean to sin and fall short, that we can veer off the path and trespass in a way. It doesn't have to be intentional veering. See, I was reading a story online yesterday about a guy who was going out to take his friend to dinner, and it was in Washington, D.C. And when he was driving, he took a wrong turn, and he missed his turn, so he decided to take his right. Well, his friend who lives in D.C. said, you need to get out of here, that you're not supposed to be here, just freaking out and yelling at him. And the driver goes and asks him, like, why are you freaking out? And why, you know, I'm just turning around in this parking lot. It's not that big of a deal. And what ends up happening is three black SUVs start coming looking at him. And the friend who's driving goes, what's going on? Why are these SUVs coming? He's like, we're in the Pentagon's parking lot. We're not supposed to be here. Now, it wasn't intentional. He was just turning around. But he was still in the wrong. You see, there's a lot of things in our life that the trespassing doesn't have to be intentional. But nonetheless, we're in the place that we ought not to be. Sin is just that. It's sin. It can be intentional or unintentional. Our life becomes the saving intention of Christ, that we are saved in his death. And so you may be saying here that, wow, these first four verses that Paul comes and says are pretty grim. I mean, Paul pretty much just says, you're about this big on your own. And for us, there's a time in our life that we see and we feel like, okay, well, if we're this bad, there's no hope. I'm going to sin. I'm going to fall short. There's no point. And that's how some of us may feel. But here's where Paul comes and gives hope for us. See, in verse 4 and 5, it says this, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. I love the words rich in mercy. It's that whole idea that God's abundant mercy, which is characterized throughout the Bible, is given to us. Think about this. We were traitors. We were people who betrayed God. We were born into this sinful life, and God said, I will give you my mercy freely. And that's amazing to think about. This is all throughout that we were children of wrath, but instead he came and saved us. When we're going through and we see it says, because of the great love which he loved us. And I love this another scripture verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of that idea of being a child of God, and where we were, and where we stood without him, and what we deserved, and then him to say, you're my child, that's an amazing change. Because I'm not going to lie, there's days when I look at my son and I just I don't want to love him because I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed, there's so many things I want to do, but yet I do. And I can't imagine the love that God has for us because I know the things that I've done that have caused me to fall away from him. But he still calls me his child. That he still calls all of us that he lavishes us with his love and his grace and his mercy. And in verse 5, when he says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. As we discussed earlier, there's a clear difference between someone who's alive and someone who's dead. And so the question is, does the world see that difference in you? Does the world see the difference in me? See, there's so many easy ways to look in our own lives and look at our neighbors, look at our friends, look at our family and say, well, I've done better than they have. I mean, they shouldn't be doing these things, so that's not good. I'm better than they are. But if we would actually start evaluating our own lives and looking in the mirror and actually saying to ourselves, wow, I really don't meet the mark. And I can say this, that this message, like I told you earlier, hurt for me to write because it's speaking to me in points as well. That there are times in our life that we have to go through and say, do we love these people in a way that they are lost and they need saved? When we're going through, we see the next part in verse 6, where it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing that not only are we called the children of God, but even in our trespasses, he actually raises us up. See, believers share Christ's position of authority at the right hand of God, that we are in this unity with Christ at our death. And that's such an amazing statement of what God has done for us. That do we keep that in our heart, that he is actually raising us from this death and we are seated with him? And we'll talk a little bit more on that here in a second, but verse 7 I want to go into. So that in the coming ages that he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us. The reason he might show these immeasurable riches is that the goodness of God is in a converting state. It's always going out and saving sinners. It's bringing people to repentance. The Spirit is working. That we can have proper encouragement for people. That there is hope, there is grace, there is mercy. See, we live in a lost and dying world where they don't teach these things. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, a lot of the posts and a lot of the things we're working for is, you know, we're going to save the world, we're going to do these things, but by the way, it's hopeless. You're going to die, there will be no point, your kids probably aren't going to survive it. I mean, when I talk to kids in the school and I'm working with these youth, there's really not a lot of hope. See, we've taught them in a world that there's really no hope, no purpose, no reason, that there's really no any desire for this. So no matter what, you're going to be lost, you're going to fall, and you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. That's what the world teaches. So it's our job as Christians to go into this world and show grace, mercy, love, to say there is purpose, there is a reason for this. And that's what God is showing throughout time and humanity. That's what this whole entire book is about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God and what he's done and what he will do. When we're going through, we see this. And the amazing part about God is how he makes sure he knows we know it's not about us. In verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, and it is the gift of God. Through this union with Christ that we are believers in, we receive this new life. It reverses the effects of death, and this grace has been freely given that shows no cost to you. That it's not by our works, that we will never work our way to heaven. We can never be good enough, never be strong enough, or ever read our Bibles enough to be good enough. And that sounds hopeless, but that's the beautiful part of the cross, is that God said, I know you're not good enough. Let me carry that for you. Let me walk with you. When we go into verse 9, it says, it's not a result of works so that no one can boast. One of the Greek words here is ergon, and it may refer to the Jewish law or specific components of it, like circumcision, food law, Sabbath, all these different things. But the idea of our works today, I think, are very different. That it's not just fueled by the works of what we do. Like I said, we can't be saved by our works alone, but by Christ's desire. That we're not going to earn right favor by ourselves. When we're working through these scenes, I hope that we can realize that Christ is so loving and so merciful that His Spirit pours out into this world and it's working to save believers, and that it's our job to hear that and to want that. In verse 10 it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I love this verse. "For we are His workmanship." It's amazing here when we're actually thinking of is, do we evaluate this in our own lives? That Christ and the Spirit are ever working and ever moving, and that we have been saved. See, I think the problem with a lot with myself and others and things is that we've forgotten what it's like to be lost. See, some of us, maybe we don't know, we're not really sure about this faith. Maybe some of us have been cast out, broken, and thrown away. And we don't understand what this God is and who He is and what He's done. But here's the amazing card is that it's our job as Christians to go out and reach those people. See, if I would go to each and every one of our houses and you could do the same thing for me, would my neighbors say, there's a difference about that guy. There's a difference about Kyle and the fact that I see something working in him. You know, or, hey, if you go talk to my coworkers, would they see a difference in me? See, here's the interesting part, is do we see this in our lives? Does our heart break for the lost? I recently had a friend that had a family member pass away. It's a guy I work with, and he was talking about this, and he was saying, he's like, I know he's not saved. He's like, the family kind of thinks he is, but he's not. There was no fruit. There was nothing there. And he's like, and it breaks my heart to see that and to see that. And the question is, do we have that? Are we gripping at people's ankles as they're walking towards this damnation saying, we love you, we care about you, here's this grace, here's this mercy, here's where it is. Does your heart break? Are we doing everything in our power to go forward and do this? See, just how we treat our neighbor, you being saying anything to your neighbor is a reflection on God. If you say you're a Christian, you do these things, you go to church, but then you treat your neighbor or your friend or your family as a low point, that's reflecting on God. You're saying you're saved, but this is how we act. And that's, I'm guilty of this, and I've had to repent of these things that I have fallen short of. When we're going through, when it's coming to our life and following Christ, we need to remember it's not our life anymore. See, it's not about us, it's about Him. It's about what God would have us do going forward. The moment we're saved by God, we've been purchased. We've been ransomed. That it's no longer yours to decide. See, God doesn't purchase us, just let us do whatever. He says, you are mine and you are my people and you will be in glory to me. That's what God wants. So when we're going through and we're seeing these 2020 and I see all these hashtags that say, new year, new me, which I'm all for self-improvement and I love these things and this idea and this hope, but the idea is are these things glorifying God in your life? Do they actually show God working in a change in you? That's something I've had to evaluate in my goals. When we're going through, these may not be pretty things. These may not be goals that we have in mind when we want our family to go. Maybe it's not a place we want to go. Maybe it's a job we have to give up. Maybe it's friends we have to remove. When there's all these things, the question is, are you willing to go? And the question is, do we have joy and peace in this? Do we have peace in God? Because that's the hope we have. See, churches have done a great job over the last, well, even now, 50 years or more, where we've told everybody what we're against, but we never said what we're for, and that we love these people, that you're going to screw up, but we still love you, and we want to walk beside you, and we want to grow with you. And these are the things we want to see. And see, when we're making these goals and these resolutions and everything we set, do you see and have peace in it? Do you see when you're looking at yourself in the mirror and we evaluate ourselves, and this is something that I've been trying to do these last 2 months. That's why I've made a lot of decisions for 2020. I've been working through these things. Is do we look ourselves in the mirror and see someone who is dead in their sins, an enemy of God, someone upon whom the wrath of God was deserved, but a merciful God came and saved us? That He loved us in such a way that He brought us out of it, that He wanted us. And do we give those same grace and mercy to the people around us in our everyday lives? What will happen is a lot of these things is we'll run through. If we run and we chase after the world and we fall to our fleshly desires, we'll be reminded that the self-help, the failed attempts of the good works, when with the wrong motivation underlying them, that they're just pointless efforts. The reminder we all need, and I especially need in my life, and maybe more than most of you for this coming year and this coming decade as we enter 2020, is it's not really about me anymore. But it's about what in my life will bring the most glory to God. How in my life can we, in my family, we glorify God the best? And that might be removing things from my life that aren't allowing me to do that. And that's what our goal is. And I hope that's what my prayer is for our church, our prayer is for you, is that we'll evaluate our next coming year, the next coming decade of how it's not about us, but it's about what God has done for us. Let us come together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for the blessing, the mercy, the love that you pour out upon us, Lord. We thank you for all of this, and Lord, we pray this in your name now. Amen.
Well, if you'll stand with us, we're going to close this morning with the song we sang earlier, Grateful. It's a perfect song to sing, too, as we enter into 2020 and we reflect on what Kyle had just preached about. Just praise God for the many blessings that he's given us through 2019 and anticipate those that he's going to give us in 2020. Thank you.
King of your mercy and your love is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. I won't forget all the battles you have.